The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I do want to challenge you with the theme of VBS this year. It's so interesting, and as I started looking at it, and I started to pray about what VBS meant and what it meant for our students, our children, those who are going to come and be here this week, I thought about what does it mean for you as a church? What does it mean for you as a Christian who've been a Christian for years, or you've been a part of, you know, this following Christ for a long time or something like that, and you walk in here today, what does this mean for you? What is that verse mean for you? What does Spark Studios mean for you? And so I went and I started kind of digging into Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, because that's kind of the segment that goes together with verse 10, which is the theme verse for this week. And so this morning, listen, this may be a reminder, but actually, let me ask you this. Anybody ever forgotten an important day? Anybody ever forgotten your kid's birthday? Huh? Yeah, me neither. Anybody ever forgetting your, like, anniversary? Yeah. Oh, man. They're throwing each other under the bus back there. What do you do to remember those things? Set reminders in your phone. Exactly, yeah. You set reminders in your phone. You talk about it. I would ask this. This is probably way too much revealing information. Anybody, like, an important day is a password for you for something? Anybody ever do that? No. No, that's too much information. Should not do that. Don't do that. Hey, we got to change some stuff when we get home. But we put it in our life in these different places to remind us of those things. On my wedding ring, which actually this is my second wedding ring. My first wedding ring got lost somewhere in a lake someplace. But I have our anniversary engraved on my wedding ring. Not that I'll ever forget it, but if I ever were to forget it, I could always take off my wedding ring. And it would be this little reminder that's in my life someplace to remind me of an important day in my life. And this morning, if you came in, you're like, hey, listen, I'm just here because it's Sunday and this is what I'm supposed to do. This morning, I hope that what Spark Studios, what Spark means to you is that. It's a reminder of something important in our lives. It's a reminder of the gospel. And so we're going to look at it real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, or it's going to be on the screens for you also. I'm going to start out with verse 1, and it says this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. You were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And when Paul writes this, he's starting out and he's letting us know what our previous state was. You and I's previous state, this is where we were. Previous means former, it means past. It's the thing that's behind us. It's in all of our past. How many of you guys like to, we went to the closest thing, I guess, to home. I feel like I don't have a home. Like, I've moved around a bunch. And so, like, there's not, like, hometown roots any place for me. And so, like, the closest place, I guess, would be kind of where my parents live now. And so, like, we went back and they showed Kelsey the first house, like, I went home to when I was a baby. I don't remember it, but they told me that's where it was. And so, like, this idea that, like, your past is kind of always with you, right? Anybody ever do that? You got, what do they call them? Decorations? Do y'all do decorations here?
You have to explain.
Okay. So when we were in Alabama, they had this thing, and it was called decorations. And on a Sunday, the entire family would get together, like a family reunion, and they would go and they would decorate the tombs or the gravestones of passed away family members. You have something similar to that? It was weird to me. I thought it was kind of strange too. Like, I was like, why are we going to, what? This is kind of creepy stuff. But I mean, it ended up being, it was a family reunion is what it was. And we have those like moments and we have those times where we try to like gain people from our past and we gain experience from our past. And our past is kind of always with us. And so Paul starts out and he says, listen, this is your past state. But when we're looking at that, I want to look at a couple things. When you go, and I don't know who's doing slides. If we can go back to verse 1-3 again. I messed you guys up. I'm sorry. It says you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. It does not say you were sick. It doesn't say you were feeling a little under the weather. It doesn't say, hey, listen, you're not doing quite the best you could do. It says you're dead. You are lifeless. The definition of dead is not having life. It's not like you were just a little sick. You were gone. You were dead in your sins. You were without life. It also says that you walked. Not that you were forced to walk. Not that somebody made you walk. Not that all of a sudden there was this little guy with a pitchfork and horns that stood behind you and poked you along, making you do different things. You walked willingly. I walked willingly in this path. I was dead. And I walked willingly in this path. He keeps going and he says that the spirit that's at work in the sons of disobedience, it doesn't capture one sin. Wouldn't you feel better if he just said, who's at work in the sons of people who cheat on their wives or husbands? It's at work for people who cheat on their taxes. It's at work in the people who do blank. Well, that's not me, so I'm good. But that's not what he says. He says it's at work in the sons of disobedience. In other words, he doesn't go to the specific sins. He casts this really wide net that says, listen, anything you do that disobeys God, you're in that boat. He goes to the root. He says the root of the problem is disobedience. The reason we sin is because we're disobedient to God. We either willfully choose something we know God stands against, or we willfully say, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. Either way you look at it, it's disobedience. It's at work in the act of sin. And so Paul, when he's writing this, he's saying, listen, you were disobedient. In other words, he's trying to say, listen, this includes all of us. This is you. This is me. This is everyone you've ever met in your entire life. This is humanity. This is all of us. We are all dead. We are all lifeless. We are voluntarily disobedient. We are self-centered pleasure seekers, deserving divine judgment. All this stuff leads to, when you read through this, and he says, and I think it's verse 4, he says, you were by nature children of wrath. The idea is that you and I deserved God's wrath. And we don't talk about God's wrath because that's not a fun word, right? It's like, God's angry at me. Actually, the better definition here is judgment. God's judgment. You were by nature worthy of God's judgment. Because of the long list of things that Paul just gave you. You were disobedient. You seek your own pleasure. You were willfully following the own desires of your flesh. You were dead. Because of all those things, you and I deserved God's judgment. Picking up in verse 4, sorry, in your notes, I think it's our previous state. This includes all of us. And then we go on to verse 4. Verse 4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and it has raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. There are a lot of but gods in the Bible. And I don't know if I could say that in church. Like I said but in church, I'm sorry. But there are a ton of but gods in the Bible. Moses, when God calls Moses, Moses takes about 15 verses and says, but God, you don't understand. But God, wait. But God, wait. But God, wait. But God, I don't do this. But God, I can't do that. But God, they won't recognize me. But God, they don't know who you are. In like 15 verses, Moses just lists all these but gods. You go over into the prophets, and all the prophets have this but God message. It's either one of two ways. It's either, hey, listen, you've been disobedient, but God's going to do this. Or it's, but God, can't you save your people? But God, shouldn't you deliver us from this? And so even the prophets have a but God message where they're working and trying to please God to somehow. Even Jesus actually has a but God message. Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. But I tell you that if you look at somebody or if you hold anger in your heart, you've committed murder. And he takes and he elevates the standard. And while he's not saying, hey, listen, you've heard it said, but God says, he's saying, I say, it's claiming his equality with God, which is what he was intended to do all along. And so even Jesus has this but God message, which elevates the standard of living for you and I as Christians. But man, that but God, this but God, this changes everything for you and I. This flips everything on its head. Because listen, you're looking at me and you're saying, what are you talking about? I'm not that bad of a person. No, you don't understand. You are a dead man walking. But God. And that is what the gospel is so awesome. That's what makes this gospel that you and I believe in, that we give our lives to, that we come and we work VBS and we come here on Sunday morning, we give, we do all those different things. It's that gospel that centers around this, but God. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love for us. It's in verse 4. This but God changes everything for you and I. Had God not intervened, there was no hope for any of us. This but God brings hope because it brings life. The very next thing he says is, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with him in Christ. This but God brings life. It's inspired by mercy. It's motivated by love. And it is the ultimate display for all ages of the grace of God. This but God changes everything. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but I would encourage you to. And next to this part of your Bible, you need to put that this is the gospel. This is what thousands of people before you have given their life for. This is why you're in this building today. This is the good news that changes our life. It's the gospel. How do you describe the gospel? Well, it's simple. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was a person who willfully disobeyed God. I was someone who was at my very core disobedient to God. But God, he changed all that. He came in and he gave me grace. He gave me mercy. He lovingly poured all those things on me so that for all the ages to come, I will be a living picture, image of his grace. And then you come to verse 10, which says this: we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. It's the so then. Again, verses 1 through 9, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's you and I were all here, and now we're, thank God, here. But this is the so then. If verses 1 through 9 is the gospel, this is the rest of the gospel that a lot of us don't like to hear. This is the rest of the gospel. It's the idea that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God had stuff prepared for you way before this day that he intended, he needed for you to do. It's not enough for us to be saved. It takes more than that. You were saved for a reason. You didn't just walk an aisle at some point in time. You didn't just fill out a card at some point in time. You didn't just get baptized at some point in time so that you can say, hey, listen, I'm going to heaven. Great, fantastic, I'm good. God offered his grace to you so that you could turn around and now, as an act of worship, as an act of saying how much you love him, do works. Please understand, works don't save you, all right? You can't come to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't give enough money to the church. I hope you do give money to the church, but you can't give enough money to the church. You can't sing in enough choirs. You can't lead enough Bible studies. You can't have enough VBS shirts that go all the way back to when VBS was started in 1920, and you still have every VBS shirt from 1920 till now. It's not going to save you. The grace of God is the only thing that's going to save you. But you are not simply saved to come and sit in a chair. You are not simply saved to come be a member of a church, to come have your name on a roll, to come do anything like that. You were saved to actively take that good news that transformed your life and start telling other people about that good news. You were saved to work VBS. You were saved so that some little kid could come in and they can hear the good news that transformed, that changed your life from you. You were saved to hold a door open so that some parent can walk through that door and they can hear all the good stuff that their kid's been doing, and they can watch the smiles on people's faces and they can say, man, there's something different about this. There's something that is intriguing about this that is worth my life. You were saved to do all those things. And the good news for you and I is we don't have to worry about what those things are, because God already prepared those things. And so if God gives you the opportunity to do anything that will help share his grace with someone, you do it. We don't have to worry about whether or not somebody's going to get mad at me today. All right. Anybody ever been asked to do something? Hey, would you do this at church? And your response was, let me pray about it. No, none of y'all ever have done that. Why you need to pray about it? And I'm not saying that you need to just volunteer to do everything. I understand there's boundaries, there's limits and things like that. But really? You need to pray about it? God's prepared something. He's given you an avenue. He's given you a way. Hey, this is how you can share my gospel with somebody who needs it. Well, let me pray about that. I can tell you, I can save you 5 minutes of prayer time that I know you're going to have, because you're going to give you're going to give 1 minute to that prayer. God says yes. He says do it. He says, get involved. He says, any place that you can go that shares the gospel with somebody, any time that you can open a door, that you can smile, that you can do whatever, that you can work VBS. You can't be here four nights, come one night. You can't be a Sunday school teacher. You can't be a leader. You can't do this. You come, and any chance you have, you give it to God. Yes, is always going to be the answer. God wants you to do that, because it's a part of the good works that he's created before you were ever saved. That was your way to take the gospel that changed your life and start to pour it out into other people's life. But there's this idea of it's Spark Studios. It's the idea that there's a spark. This gospel is a flame that burns off the dead parts of our life, right? This gospel changes us. It comes in and it burns. And so there's this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 5-7, and Paul is writing to Timothy, he says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and now in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame, which is the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The gospel ignites this fire in us, and it burns. But what happens to wood when you put it in a fire that burns? Burns it up, right? And eventually you have this thing called ash, and all of a sudden, if you don't ever, clean out your ash or your ash from underneath, all that wood that's been burning kind of suffocates the other fire, right? Oxygen's not able to get in there like it needs to, and therefore you lose the flame, you lose the burning. You may still have some hot embers, but there's no flame to it. It's a slow burn. See, I think where a lot of us are this morning is this. That gospel came in. It changed our life back in this day, this day, this day. But all of a sudden, as God's used that gospel to burn off some of these areas of your life that needed to be burned off so that you could look more like Christ, you've let that ash pile up and pile up and pile up. And you've never fanned the flame of that gospel. You've never said, hey, listen, this thing that took over my life, that changed me from who I was to who I am now, it's kind of gotten stale. It's kind of gotten lifeless. And really, like, am I burning for God? Well, yeah, I'm slowly burning. I think this is where God's saying, hey, listen, VBS is for you because it's meant to fan that flame. It's for you to come and to see the excitement, to see the joy, to see those different things, to listen to the Bible studies, to listen to the stories, because all those things fan that flame. They burn, they fan that ember until it's a burning flame again, so that the new areas of your life that God still needs to burn off can be burnt off because there's a flame again. See, a lot of us, we're good to come. We're good to drop our kids off for VBS. We're good to come here and work VBS, but not really listen to anything, not really pay attention to the words, not really pay attention to the songs that are singing, not really pay attention to the verses or the Bible study lesson or anything like that. We just want to come and work VBS because that's the work that God created before us. But this year, I challenge you, church, let VBS not just be something that you come and do. Be something that you come expecting God to do something in you through VBS. Ask God, hey, listen, God, fan this flame in me. Fan this ember, this thing that was once a burning drive in my soul. And it's just got taken over and taken over by stuff that's been burned off, and that's not bad. But God, I want it to be a burning flame again. I want VBS this year to take and fan that ember into a burning flame, because there's still parts of my life that need to be burned off. Anybody in here perfect today? No. Not me either, sorry. There's still parts of me, man, that need to be burned off. I still have rough edges. I still have things that I do that I'm like, man, why in the world did I do that? I know that's the wrong thing to do. I still have times where I know God wants me to do something and I say, no, I really don't want to do that. God, thank you, but no. And what I need to have happen is I need to have, from time to time, that gospel that changed my life, that burning flame that took hold in me. I need to have it rekindled. I need to have it refanned. Where it's a burning flame again, so that all those things that are still a part of me that need to be burned away, God can burn those things away. So this morning, I don't know why you're here. Again, maybe you came to hear kids sing. Maybe you came because it was Sunday. Maybe you came because somebody drug you here. I don't know. But my challenge for you is this. One, have you had, this is an awesome verse, but if you miss verses 1-9, and just focus on verse 10, you may think this whole thing is about you. And it's not. You were created to do good things that He prepared for you to do before you were ever created, before you were ever born, before you were ever saved, all so that you can reflect the grace of God to other people. It's all about Him. And a lot of times as Christians, we forget verses 1-3 because we want to think that we're not that bad. We weren't really that terrible of a person. I've never murdered somebody. I've never done this. I've never done that. And God says, no, listen, you have to understand how bad you were to understand how amazing that but God was. So that way you can actually live out what you're supposed to live out on this side of things. This morning, maybe you just need to thank God you're no longer who you were. Maybe this morning you never have accepted Christ. You've never taken the steps to have a personal relationship with Him. And so you're still living over here on this side. You know about the but God, but you've never experienced the but God in your life. You've never experienced His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness that He offers to you continually. this morning, my challenge for you is to accept that. Come down here, talk to me, talk to somebody who came with you, talk to somebody sitting around you today and say, hey, listen, how do I experience that grace? Today, some of you need to get involved. You've sat, you've watched, you've experienced from the sidelines for long enough. But God's saying, hey, listen, I created this for you to be involved in. It's time for you to step in and be involved. You need to join this church. You need to get involved with Sunday school and then see Miss Sammy and Mr. Mike and say, listen, I hadn't planned on it, but I got to come tonight and I got to work because I got to be involved. Some of you need to spend some time during this song of invitation just saying, God, listen, I'm about burnt out. I've been a Christian a long time, God. I've done this. This is my umpteenth million VBS. I'm VBS'd out. I'm burnt out. I'm done. I'm tired. You need to say, God, that's me. But man, I want to be burning again. I need you to fan that flame, God. I need VBS this year to be different. I need you to pour into me something different that reignites that fire, that burning flame, because there's still a part of me. There's still lots of me, God, that needs to be burned off so I look more like you. And so your prayer today needs to be this. God, reignite my fire. Reignite that passion that was there. That gospel truth, that thing that changed me dramatically. God, reignite that, not just to a slow burn, but a burning flame that consumes all the parts of my life that you don't want me to have as part of my life anymore. You do business with God during this time. Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you for these people who came to church on VBS Sunday. Lord, they may have no clue why they're here. Father, maybe they know exactly why they're here, but I know why you wanted them here today. God, you wanted them here because there are people in this room who have never received Christ. Lord, they're still living dead in their trespasses and sin. They're still living willfully disobedient. They're still living in that phase of their life. And God, this morning, they needed to hear that there is a but God that changed everything. That extends grace and mercy to them right where they are. Father, there are others in this room this morning who needed to be challenged, who needed to be aware of the fact that they need to be involved in what you're doing because that's why they were created in you to do good works for you. Father, there are others who are probably just exhausted. And this morning I pray that you would just reignite the passion of the flame of the gospel in their life so that it will continue to burn off all those parts of you or all those parts of them that don't reflect you. Lord, do what only you can do during this invitation. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.